It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here in Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, here from the BEA Beautiful Studios of FreedomsPhoenix.com. Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com here in Phoenix, Arizona, where it's very nice. It's very nice today. It's kind of nippy for us, man. I think it might even be down in the 60s. I just came from Reno, Nevada. I was up there for a convention, Libertarians party they had there for Nevada, and speaking, and it was a snowstorm. Saturday night, snowstorm, backed me up three times. I got bumped trying to get back. Seriously, you know, this is, and, I don't want to say the airline that really screwed me over several times, but their initials are U.S. Airways, okay? Just FYI. The one thing today, there's a lot of stuff I'd like to go on about that. I mean, there's a lot of things, but something came up that I want to share with you. And I did on the morning show, too, because it's important and it's just breaking. And I, you know, Dr. Paul and I, we know each other. He's spoken three times at the Freedom Summit. We probably total over the 10 years that we've come across each other and dealing with the revolution and doing all this campaign and around country and all that. I tell you, probably a total of maybe 40, 50 minutes that he and I have actually sat down and talked, and 30 of that was a couple of weeks ago. He's got his own thing. I do my own thing. We're just out there freedom fighting. When you get to be 70-something years old, like, what am I going to tell him? You're doing it wrong. You should do it this way. That's not going to happen. And I got, kind of the same ad. I know what I want to accomplish and do. And he's playing, congressman and being Republican and everything. I get it. He does his own thing. I do my own thing. It's all good. Kind of support each other. And whatever we do, we're done. But I haven't had him on the radio show yet. I've had him on Charles' show a lot. I produce, had him, come in. I know the people in the office and so on. It's all good, but why? I just take a clip. I'm not trying to just fluff myself, because what happens is there's going to come a time that I want him to come on for the big, I need you this time. Well, today I sent out the messages. Now, I told him, I said, look, I don't need to be taking up all his time. You just send me the audio file or the video clip or the YouTube he's done for Campaign for Liberty or something. I'll play. I want to get his position on something. I don't need to just yak, waste his time. Go fight freedom up there. Don't worry about Ernie. I got, my self-esteem's good, man. I'm all right. But this is something that I want to discuss and make sure it gets out there. If he wants to avail himself of the opportunity to talk to y'all, this is the issue. This is the first time that I've asked that he come on to explain something, because I'm going to do my best to explain it to you. I just found out about this. It's just starting, breaking news right now. The Federal Reserve wants to be able to just loan out money it just creates and pay interest on it. And this is dangerous. Well, it's not even loan. They're going to pay interest on money that they put on deposit with them. I'm going to explain it to you as best as I can understand it. But when I met with Dr. Paul a couple of weeks ago, I was of the opinion that this is all going to come crashing down pretty soon. Like this summer. Now, of course, they'll try and stop it. Why? Because they're in an election year. Heck no. You got to keep faith with the man. So we have an election cycle coming up this November, and the cycle's now. And We have a fiscal year starting in July. We got all these adjustable rate mortgages that are starting to reset. We got commercial real estate that hasn't taken a dump yet. We got any first shoe adding drop. Man, they just took the first shoe off smelling this smelly sock, much less get to the second shoe. This is, man, ooh, biblical depressionary kind of stuff. What are they going? There's something. I mean, they got to pull something out of their rear. What? You know what? Well, this might be it. We're going to talk about it. I'm going to try to explain it to you. What happened was because of, that's a long story, but taking the flights, it was easier for me to get back. My wife, finally, for me to get out of Reno, her to drive up to Las Vegas to come pick me up, and I get home faster just to go to Vegas through via, you know, whatever, doesn't matter. But I had an opportunity to meet with some friends I have in Vegas and wealthy uber-rich guys and their uber-rich friends, and they're all being rich and telling me what's what. And they bring me one of the guys at dinner. He takes me to the side, and he goes, let me tell you something. This just happened today. This is like yesterday. He goes, a lot of people don't understand what's going on. This is a huge, big, giant Uber thing, and it's camouflaged with code words. You know, kind of nuance, and they call it all kinds of stuff. All this esoteric, you know, discussions about blah, 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 and you have no idea what's really happening. So I asked some questions. He gave me some information. I got kind of a bead on what's going on. I'm going to try and share it with you and so that you can understand it and do your own research on this. Now, you go to top of Freedom's Phoenix right now. You'll see the morning show in there, and we'll put a lot of this stuff and a little more stuff that I found out since then today, and we'll add it to the afternoon archive so you have even more goodies. You're getting the cream. We already had our practice version. Now you guys get the goodie. All right? This is what's going on. The Federal Reserve, in a nutshell, the Federal Reserve and the big bad guys and the banks and all that, they know that they have pumped gazillions of dollars into the economy, and that is inflationary. It is inflation. That is the definition of inflation is not rising prices. That's the side effect of inflation. Inflation is an increase in the money supply. Years ago, when they used to call it M3, and it was a index that they would take this number and how much of this and subtract and add and whatever, and they had M3. This is the money supply. This is how much is out there. Well, they knew they were going to jack that up, you know, even under Greenspan. This is like, you know, helicopter Bernanke talk. You know, they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to create us a bubble. Watch us do it. We're going to turn every house in America into an ATM. Let me show you how we do it. After the dot-com bubble went, they and 9/11 happened and all that. We got America. Yeah, we got, you know, America. We got, you know, inflate the bubble and do, instead of taking a correction or just letting it, you know, the too big to fails fail. You know, here we go. Well, they were off and running. And it was clear a few years ago when this first started, we used to have Jim Rogers. He's a, you know, the billionaire biker. He and George Soros had a hedge fund back in the day. And then they kind of split. Soros went his own way, and Rogers did his thing. And we used to have him on Charles Goyette's show. I was producer for that. And I'd be calling him in all over the place, New York, Singapore, Shanghai. And he had a little girl. Remember when she was born, and he got a Mandarin-speaking nanny for her. They live in Singapore now, and she, little blonde girl, walk around speaking Mandarin Chinese because he knew this is going. I remember him being on the show, and he says, and as a result of all these shows that we did, really focused on the economy and a bunch of other stuff, Charles Goyette wrote the book, The Dollar Meltdown. And I keep, you know, I'm just always so busy, and I just keep starting, and you know, and I never can just, you know, do one reading. Well, I restarted it. Now I had extra days in Reno in a snowstorm. So I'm, you know, reading that. What a fantastic read. I mean, that should be like curriculum, you know, for everybody. It's called The Dollar Meltdown by Charles Goyette, G-O-Y-E-T-T-E. And we've had him on the show talking about this. And it is a great history, past, current, future understanding of what's going on in this economy, why and how, from the perspective of a talk show host that reads the books, that knows what's going on, that had the guests on. We would have these guys on. Rogers told us, he goes, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are done back, well, at least 1-2 years before this came down. because they just stopped reporting on their SEC reports. You know, they just, we're not reporting anymore. Because it was a bunch of fraud going on. It was all pretend money. They were amping this. They were losing their butt. And they just, man, no, we ain't, no, heck no. So we knew that was going. We'd scream about it. Housing bubble's going to hit. Everything's going to fall, you know, doom and gloom. Well, gold's going to go. You know, this is back when gold was $400, $500, $600. And then, boom, what's it, up to 12 it hit? So this is stuff that we knew was coming. All of a sudden you have big New York publisher publishes his book, The Dollar Meltdown. It's being translated into Chinese and Korean. Why? Because of this stuff that I'm going to talk. When we come back, I'm going to explain to you what the Fed is doing and what it means. Yeah, what are you going to do about it? Got chickens? We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Love ain't the same on the south side of town. You could look, but you ain't gonna find it around. It's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. It's the same old story, same old story, same old song and dance.
Yeah, the same old song and dance. And just keep going around. Here, come again. It's the same old, same old, same old, same old, same old, same old. Now, Dr. Paul, his whole thing was, he goes, Ernie, I don't think it's going to, you know, happen right away. I mean, they're going to drag this out longer. I'm like, how? How? Now, I did the same thing in December 31st, 2002. I wrote an article for Lou Rockwell. I wrote something that, it's a long story, but basically it was Sell Your House Now. I mean, that was the title of it, Sell Your House Now. And it was based on my feelings of things that were happening at the time. And I recognized what was going on. This is probably a couple of months before I even started my first radio show. I still had a restaurant. I just felt it. You know, there was the things that were going on. And I go, I've been through this before. It was called the savings and loan bust back in the late 80s, early 90s. And I'm going, oh, I've seen this before in Phoenix. All the speculation stuff and everything. Yep, here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes. Well, if people took my advice and sold their house in December 2002, they would have missed the high. You know, they'd not loved me that much. You know, of course, you know, it's still probably been more than what it is now. But, you know, and I'm going, I see this. I see where this is going. It's going to, you know, here comes the bubble and it's going to bust. But it didn't bust then. It waited another couple of years. And Lou Rockwell's like, Ernie, I want you to, can you rewrite this, get more detail in this, that, and everything, whatever, and fix the grammar and everything. I want to put it up on Lou Rockwell. I'm like, cool. You know, you go, Lou Rockwell, Ernest Hancock, you'll see the article. And it's a pretty detailed, long article about why I knew the bubble was coming. And it's just, you know, common sense stuff. You know, it's all speculative crap. And here in Arizona, more than anywhere else. I mean, you know, it's just, it doesn't matter. The reason was, is because I could not understand how they were going to able to extend this even further. What I did not anticipate is that they would just turn every American house into an ATM machine. They would, you know, bring interest rates down to nothing, make sure that, you know, the regulators kind of, I see nothing. I know nothing. How many, you know, last night, matter of fact, I had dinner. It was a young man. He used to work for Countrywide. You know, they went, you know, belly up big time. They were one of the problems of subprime stuff. And sure, it was just very clear. We didn't even have to have a long discussion. I go, how much paperwork could you push, right? Yep. He's probably in his mid-20s. And it's just, you know, we knew what was going on. They knew what was going on then. It was just to be able to get cash into the system, create the bubble. Well, it went a little bit longer and went up, and then it did take a dump. But what are they doing now? What is something that I don't know? Dr. Paul's like, Ernie, you know, it's not done yet. There's going to be another. I'm like, what? I didn't see it. I mean, of course, eventually it's going to go. I mean, I know that. It's just, you know, when? The time of my coming is unknown. Well, let me tell you what's coming. The end is nigh, but how much longer can they drag it out? One more election cycle. That's how long they can drag it out. It's always one more election cycle until they can't. They keep doing it until they can't. Well, this is what they're doing. When you need to understand what the discount window is. They keep going the discount window. What is that? They got all these dials. You hear me talking about, they just think they can just keep turning dials. Hey, got another dial to turn. The gentleman that told me about this last night, you know, there's a lot of these guys dealing in the stock market and financials and currencies and all this kind of, there's all across the board. And the what would surprise you is the common thread that these guys, even though they approach investing from, you know, a lot of different things that they, their forte is and how they do this, or all of them are friends. And I became friends with a couple of them. And then all these other guys kind of extended friendship. And then, you know, they're cool guys. My wife comes up and we party and go out to dinner and everything. The common thread is that they were all gamers. They are world-renowned bridge players, backgammon, chess, gamers. They're big in the math. And in their heads, they are able to process big numbers very quickly and see patterns. They are geniuses. I mean, literally, you know, like this 200 IQ thing. In the early 80s, what was realized by someone on the stock market and in the commodities market and all this other stuff, they came up with this concept that, you know what, to see patterns or to be able to really do fast trading and everything, you have to have a certain kind of brain. I mean, you got to have a certain level of intelligence to be able to cope and deal with this and see things that, you know, other people don't, or take advantage of. You know, you're looking at margins and what they call it, equity. You know, how much equity does this stock have? I mean, how much advantage does it have? How much is it more worth than what it's selling at? And blah, 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 blah. So they went out and recruited these young people in their late teens, early 20s, like Google, going all over the universities and getting these uber geeks and super smart guys in the IT industry. The stock market guys were doing the same thing in the early 80s, going to people that were great poker players, great gamblers, great backgammon, chess, bridge. All that's what all these guys have in common. They were gamers. So that's why, you know, a lot of them in Las Vegas, they wound up, you know, in Las Vegas. Well, these guys were brought into the stock market, given their credentials, put on the floor, got their little jacket, vest, whatever, go to town. As time went by and so on, they made their own fortunes. They did whatever. Some made mistakes, some didn't. Some, you know, they, you know, satisfied with making a, you know, a good little chunk every day and doing whatever, rich. Got money. You know, we're good. You know, got all kinds of lawyers making sure that all their taxes are just right. Make sure they pay all their goodies. You know, because they demand, they know the man's always after them. So they're just, hey, I pay extra. You know, that gives me permission to keep making more money, because I like how the stock market works. You just keep giving me money. Well, they understand a lot of these terms that we'll talk about today. All these different terms, you know, what the heck does that mean? Discount window. It's an instrument of monetary policy, and it's from Wikipedia, usually controlled by central banks, okay, that allows eligible institutions to borrow money from the central bank, usually on a short-term basis, to meet temporary shortages of liquidity caused by internal and external disruptions. The term originated with the practice of sending a bank representative to a reserve bank teller window when a bank needed to borrow money. I guess back in the day, they just, you know, send the manager over to somewhere and give me some money. The discount window is an instrument of monetary policy, which means the Federal Reserve, okay? Controlled by central banks, Federal Reserve, you know, Bank of National Settlement, these guys, you know, the boys. That allows eligible institutions, who's eligible? You know, the boys. You know, they go to the discount window, and what are they doing? They're giving them money at almost zero. You know, it's 0.1% or some crap. I mean, you know, it's like nothing. You know, I mean, it's really a net loss, especially with inflation. But, you know, but what do they do with that? That's where you hear the term carry trade. If I could go, and I'm uber, let me see, oh, something like Goldman Sachs, all right? Goldman Sachs goes to the discount window and they say, can I have $1 billion, please? Why, of course, you're one of our buddies. Here's your $1 billion. And how much is interest on that? Almost nothing. Yeah, near nothing, nothing, 1%, 0.5%, nothing, quarter, I mean, nothing, right? I mean, really, literally down to like, you know, 0.1%, you know, just to cover the person that sits there to actually give it to you. I mean, nothing. So 0%. And this is where you get Japan's, you know, lost decade and zombie banks and zombie corporations, zombie, because there was no money. They were just, you know, pretend money, right? Go to the discount window, give Goldman Sachs all this money. Here's your $1 billion. Okay, well, what's the deal? Well, it's a discount. You know, it's temporary. Yeah, but it keeps getting redone. So I have this temporary loan that I'm going to pay back in 30, 60 days, you know, tomorrow, the next week, whatever. But then they can lend it out at a profit. How much? 2%? 5%? 15%? I mean, it's a nice gig if you can get it. You know, I get to borrow money from you. Can I have $1,000 at no percent, and then I'll go out, loan it, and whatever, and I make money? And it doesn't cost me anything? Heck, I'll do that all day long. Well, it's created some problems. That's what we're going to talk about. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Yeah, you're on Declare Your Independence. We got to look around, see what's going down. Standard of living, that's what's going down. This is, I just want to, you know, I'm trying to understand this too. I mean, I'm not an uber financial geek on this thing. I just know, you know, here we go. And how are they going to do it? How are they going to stop it? How are they going to delay it? We got an election year coming up. They can't have, you know, people on the streets, you know, with pitchforks and torches. I mean, you know, we've got to do something. After the September 11th attacks, as the volume, and this is from Wikipedia, as the volume of borrowing requests increased dramatically, lending to banks through the discount window totaled about $46 billion, more than 200 times the daily average for the previous month. The flood of funds released into the banking system reduced the immediate need for banks to rely on payments from other banks to make the payments they themselves owed others. So it's like a vicious circle. This kept liquidity alive in the economy despite interruptions of communications and cash flow between banks, blah, blah, blah. This is what happened. They used the discount window as a method of just pumping boatloads of money into the system. You may remember, you know, on, I don't even know what network he's on, Kramer. He's going on, he's banging on the table. I remember it was a big YouTube video, banging on the table, that opened the discount window, screaming it. You know, and it was all staged. It was all, you know, it's like the banks are like, please, we need money. Give us money because, you know, we can scream for it and we'd like it and we got all kinds of good reasons. Give us more money. Well, if you look at the discount rate change in July of 2007, okay, this is just a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, not even that, 2.5 years ago, July 2007, the rate that it cost you to do, you know, borrow, you know, take this money out, was 6.25%. Right now, it's 0.75%. You start to see the difference? From 6.25% down to 0.75%. So it's a good deal if you can get it. You know, give me like free money and then I'll loan it out at whatever. Then it was, you know, it was like it's supposed to be paid back in days. And then they extended it. On August 17, 2007, the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve announced a temporary change to primary credit lending terms. The discount rate was cut by 50 basis points, and the term of loans was extended from overnight. Now, this is just overnight, so they can balance, keep their reserves in check. You're not supposed to have so much on hand and, you know, stay with this, you know, this fractional reserve banking thing. They still have some requirements. They have some in reserve, and they'd get the money all set. And they went from overnight to 30 days. So imagine this. You have a 200% increase. I mean, it's or 200 times as much money. It's just and then longer to pay it back. You just flooded the market with enormous amounts of cash. The money supply skyrocketed. No wonder they weren't reporting M3. But there are people, and we have them published on Freedom's Phoenix during these years. They go, look, we can recreate M3. We can tell how much money is in the system. You know, we take this report and this thing and this deal and boom. Oh, my goodness. It's a freaking rocket ship graph. It's going straight up. There was no stopping the accompanying price increases, because they try to convince you that inflation is an increase in prices. No, that's a side effect of inflation. Inflation is an increase in the available money, the money supply. So if you got, you know, you don't have that much money out there, guess what? Things get cheaper. You know what? It's not going to cost that much because I don't have that much money. You know, you start just throwing money out in the streets, you know, you get into Zimbabwe. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, here's your $2 trillion for that loaf of bread. You think I'm kidding? I mean, they went, and I friends last night, they go, yeah, I got $1 trillion bills. Then it went to $100 trillion. I mean, I'm going, wow, are you kidding me? All right, cool. You know, we've been through this before. Weimar Republic, you know, went through the same thing in Germany. So, and they're going, yep, it can't happen here because we say so, because it's America, MK, America. You know, we got dollar. Now, that was one of the arguments a friend of mine was making last night. He goes, Ernie, you're just crazy. The dollar's never going to be converted into some world currency. You're never going to have something replace the dollar. It's never going to be folded into some United Nations world O kind of whatever. You know, there will always be the dollar. And I go, why do you say that? Ah, because. But why? I mean, you had the French, the franc, the Italian lira, the German mark. I mean, it all became the euro. I mean, never have America. Nope, never. And this is a guy that's been in the Bank of International Settlements. He's seen what they do. They settle the camp, blah, blah, blah. You know, so this is one of the Uber boys. So I'm going, you still got to explain it to me. Why? You know, I mean, he goes, I agree with you. He tells me this. He goes, I agree with you. The dollar is going to zero. And I go, well, then how is it going to make? He goes, and I didn't say it was ever going to reach zero. It's just going there. I didn't say it was going to be zero. It's just going to zero. And he, you know, he's like, hey, I know. Since 1913, you've lost 97-98% of the dollar. You could lose another 97% of the dollar now. He goes, so I'm still going to be trading on the market in dollars. Now, of course, I'm not going to be keeping my reserves in dollars. I mean, you know, I make the money and I go, you know, buy me some commodities and land and goodies and yachts and planes and whatever the heck I want and need and food and whatever. You know, I'll go get some goodies out of it, but I'm going to still be doing transactions in the market in dollars because it is a stable form of transaction. They honor it. They'll pay it immediately. I don't have to wait. I, you know, make my money. I push a button. It goes into my account. Then I do whatever I want with it. I go buying, you know, I'm making money. You know, I'll take your, you know, trillion. Of course, my $1 trillion may only buy me a loaf of bread 2 weeks from now, but I'm, you know, give me my money. So he goes, yeah, I agree with you. Dollar's going to go to zero, but it's never going to reach it. You know, if you looked at someone now saying, yeah, you know, your dollar is worth 4 2 cents, what it was 1913, you know, I'm definitely going to zero, but it's not zero. So I'm going, okay, I understand your argument, but I mean, at what point? I mean, there's never going to come a time when there's going to be a competing currency or just people just go, yeah, screw it, man. I barter in silver. I barter in, you know, the Chinese are going to come up with something. Some little country, I mean, heck, you know, Athens was, you know, had gold currency. You know, you had the Byzantine, you know, what they call it, the Bazat, or I can't even remember what they call it. The Byzantine Empire had gold coins for 600 years. You know, Rome was gold, you know, until they started, you know, but what do? They always debase it. They start shaking. That's why you got the little knurls on the outside of a quarter. The reason they do that, not that it means anything now, but the reason they do that is because the king would be in his little treasury. All the money come through, he'd kind of be shaving off the edges. You know, he'd get an extra coin or two after, you know, so many hundreds or thousands of coins. He gets some, yeah, just made extra. You know, it's called coin clipping or shaving or whatever. So they put the little knurls around it so that was more obvious when people would do that. Okay, I get it. Cool. So this has happened in the past. He is genuinely of the opinion that the dollar will never go to zero, that the United States government will always have the dollar. Well, will it always be the Federal Reserve? Will there always be a central bank? Yeah, he thinks so. They'll do all their stuff. It'll get debased. It'll be, you know, inflation will go crazy. So, you know, got chickens? You better start buying stuff. You know, get some food and, you know, and toilet paper and tampons and stuff, man. I mean, get stocked up. All right. So now you have the discount window out there just, you know, throwing money into the system. You know, where before it was overnight, then it went to 30 days. And I'm sure it's probably more now. You go from 6.25% down to 0.75%. Okay. You know, there's a bunch of money out there. This is before they did the TARP, the Troubled Asset Relief Program, whatever the heck it stands for. Before that, before they gave all these kind of powers to the Federal Reserve to do all kinds of funky stuff. Before. So what do you think happened now? They're talking trillions, tens of trillions, double-digit trillions of dollars extra out there somewhere. That's why Dr. Paul has the bill audit the Fed. He's like, hey, man, I just want to know what you did. Not that I expect them to tell the truth or anything, but, you know, what's the deals you got with foreign banks in other countries? What's the deals you got with foreign corporations? What's the deals you got with other central banks, Bank of National Settlement? You know, what's the deal? Are you for us or against us? Well, we need to know. Nope. And wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. Not going to tell you. Yeah? Well, they got a plan. Because this inflation out there, there's something. They have to do something. What is it? I'll tell you. You just stay right there. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Ernest Hancock here from Phoenix, Arizona, in the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. We're fighting for some truth, justice, and what used to be the American way, I think so. Let's do that. And some love-illusion. And I tell you, the best way to do that is just, you know, get informed, man. I mean, you know, see it coming. It's kind of, you look and you see, it's kind of, the meteor is, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And you just want to know where, you know, which way to step to the side, duck, do something. Sometimes you can't duck. Sometimes you just got to, you know, put your shoulder into it and just suck it up. Sometimes you just got to kiss your wife goodbye. You know, what do? The best thing is to at least be forewarned. That's what we're doing. Now, on Freedom's Phoenix, you have Fed Treasury Covert Tightening Alert. I mean, that's what it's called. Fed/Treasury Covert Tightening Alert, whatever that means, colon, $200 billion in liquidity to be withdrawn over next 8 weeks. Now, this is today. This has just come out. Wall Street cheat sheet. This just come out today. I got warned about this last night. As I'm driving down, I'm starting to read a little bit of stuff. I send it to some of the guys. I go, look, man, here this comes. And here we go. So I start, you know, taking a look at it and put it up. And once I start getting this out, they didn't really understand it. They didn't say, what, Ernie, you're just, you know, blah, 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 blah. They didn't understand what was going on. A lot of the guys, you know, and I go, okay, so I'll do this show. You go, what to start asking, what to start looking for. Because I don't understand this any more than they did. But I understand what it is that they wanted, what they're creating. And I'll get it all explained to you by the end of the show. On the heels of the surprise discount window rate hike late last week, and on the eve of Bernanke's congressional testimony, speculation abounds as to the when and where of the next round of tightening. We need look no further than the U.S. Treasury press room, as it has announced today a revival of sorts for the Supplementary Financing Program, SFP. Remember the SFP? Of course not. Remember the SFP? It's back, though it really never went away. Originally created in September 2008 to provide a pool of funds that could be drawn upon by the Fed in emergencies without adding to excess reserves. before the Fed had the power to pay interest on excess reserves. Okay, now this is, you know, you don't understand all these, you know, you and I read this, you're like, what the heck does this mean? I have no idea what they're talking about. Okay, I'll try to explain it to you. The SFP hit its peak amount in November 2008 at $558.9 billion. All right. This is what it is. This is something that the Federal Reserve has been screaming about since Paulson. I mean, hell, since the beginning of time. But, you know, this was a big deal here. They saw, never let a good crisis, you know, go to waste. Rahm Emanuel. You know, Geithner and all these guys are going, ooh, man, we see us an opportunity. Because they have now what they've always wanted. The Federal Reserve has always wanted to be able to pay interest on deposits made with them. They don't do, this has not been one of the powers that they've had in the past. Let me explain to you how this works. They were given the ability to pull excess liquidity, money in the system. All this stuff that they've done, gazillions of dollars are out there, which is inflation. The increase of the money supply is inflation. Price increases are just a result of that. If you have a bunch of money, just like, you know, housing boom, you know, if you got a bunch of money being loaned on it, people have it, more money's out there to be loaned, you know, guess what happens? Prices go up. They're going, man, we are in trouble. We put way too much out there, and we got an election cycle coming. We got to be able to bring in the money. We got to, you know, get rid of, you know, this excess reserves. Excess reserve. What the heck does that mean? They say excess reserves. You know, I thought that they were trying to get, you know, more money out there. You remember? They're going, we gave the banks all these gazillions of dollars, and they go, where's the money? You guys, you're loaning it out to other countries? You're making interest on this? The whole point that we did this whole Save America economy kind of thing, too big to fail, we give you a whole bunch of money, was so that you would start loaning it to Americans so that we would have the money here. Well, you took that money and you sent it over. This is what this audit the Fed thing is all about. It's like, what the heck did you do with all this money? You're loaning that over here because why? Because you get a better rate of return. Their economy's not as bad, or you get a higher, or they need it more, and heck, they're even worse off. You got short term, you're making more money on money that you got for nothing, you know, or at a low, it's a bailout, or you got a discount window for almost nothing, and you're loaning that even a minuscule more amount, you know, and you're talking billions of dollars. Pretty soon, you're talking enough money to pay bonuses. This is what's going on. So, they're going, all right, we need the mechanism by which we can reduce the money supply, that we can put it over here in a Federal Reserve bank account. The little pinky swear, we got our own little vault here. All this money, we'll just take it out of the system and set it here. What were they going to do, go steal it from somebody? Now, I mean, they got to get them voluntarily want to, you know, give it to them and put it in this account to take it out of the system. Well, they created this account. It's called the, you know, they already had it, the supplementary financing program, where money was going out. Now they want them to put it back in. Out, in. All of a sudden, now they're a bank, okay, going out and in. They were given the power that they always wanted. Now they're going, you know, in the name of inflation, we are going to be taking in a bunch of the excess money out there, excess reserves, what that means. Now, all this money that's out there, we got to entice them to take it out of the banking system and put it into this, you know, drawer for the Federal Reserve. Why? What happens when China, they already started, they start liquidating? You know, they're going, you know, we're not buying, rolling over the debt on your treasuries anymore. We don't think you're going to be able to pay it. Besides, dollars ain't going to be worth nothing anyways. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to cash in, man. You know, give me my money. Well, that money is, we're in the government, Federal Reserve. They got, you know, all of a sudden they got, you know, gazillions of dollars going out into the banking system again. Inflation galore. Boom, man. It's and prices going to the moon, Alice. So they got to somehow try and bring that back in somewhere and put it somewhere, you know, in a drawer under a rug or something. How do they do that? Well, they have to entice you to do it. So they changed the law and allowed the Treasury to be able to pay interest on this money. So the Federal Reserve goes, all right, got some money out there? Well, put it over here, and we'll give you X percent of interest. All right. Well, a whole bunch of money comes in, and they're going to pay that interest with what? They got to print more money. All this money that they bring in, they pull it out of the system. Yeah. They got it out of the system for 56 days. They're going to try and roll it over. They're going to drag it out a couple of months. They're going to drag it out another couple of months. They're going to drag it out right up until the election. So they're going to drag this stuff out. And it's just, you know, it's just crazy stuff. These guys are crazy. I haven't put the story up yet, but we have the Obama administration, their missile defense thing. They got the missile defense logo. It looks just like the Obama logo. And, you know, these guys are comical, man. You know, they just, you know, yeah, we rule you from space. And, oh, yeah, it looks like Obama's logo. Yes, I mentioned that. But we'll have it up there in a little bit. So what they do is they go, all right, we're going to pull all this money. We're going to put it in our drawer over here so that it's not in the system. You know, take all this excess, you know, money, what do they call it? They call it excess reserves, whatever that means, this money supply. They put it in there, and to entice people to do it, Congress is giving them the ability to pay interest on it. But wait, there's more. If you're giving money out on with your left hand at like zero, and that's 0.1% or something I read in here somewhere, and then you're enticing them to bring this money that you just gave them to put it into a Federal Reserve account over here. You got to what? Yeah, got to offer them more money than, you know, what's costing them to take it out. So they offered at 0.25%, you know, a quarter of a percent. Well, when you're talking gazillions of dollars, you know, pretty soon, you know, you're talking some real money here. So in this just a 56-day thing anyway. So what's that over a year? I don't know. More. So they go, here we go. We're going to give you money here. Oh, that's too much money out there. That's bad. We shouldn't have that much money. It's inflationary. People are going to be cashing in their treasuries. They're going to be wanting their money back. And, you know, India did it. They go, you know, thanks for all the fish, man. You know what? We'll take our money and we're going to go ahead and buy 200 metric tons of gold. You know, we got a pile of worthless dollars and we got gold. We can get, really? Seriously? If we give you these dollars, you'll give us that gold? Done. Deal. And then the price of gold went up, not down, which I think was that International Monetary Fund. They thought that was going to happen. It didn't. Nobody's buying this. So now we have, in one hand, they're giving out the money to their buddies. On the other hand, they're saying, put it back in our own little special account, and we'll pay you more money than what it costs you to borrow it. And who gets to do this? Goldman Sachs! And they didn't have to do anything but change a law. Wow. We'll be right back. I'll explain it some more. We've got some more goodies on this so you can understand what's going on. And is it for your benefit? No, it's not. But they'll drag it out until another election. I think that's what Dr. Paul is talking about. Hopefully we'll get him on. We'll find out. But you guys go ahead and just stay right there. We'll be right back after the top of the hour news. And right here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. I'm right back.